that the Congress and the bureaucracy would run him into a mill. I find that Weaver is a pretty much of a martyr. One of the boys talked to him and told him that he thought that we oughtn't to be called on to name an acting one, that it implied we didn't want to, and that we would like for him to just run the show he's running now under an opinion of the Attorney General until the President felt like evaluating all the pros and cons and talking to the Congress and getting the folks in. Now, I'll give you an illustration. I've never told anybody this but you, and if you, I don't, you're not at liberty to tell your wife, not a human. But the one thing that made me addle a little bit was Mike Manitos, my man in the Senate, after the rent supplement. When Weaver was up in New Jersey speaking to the Chamber of Commerce the day this was being considered and voted on, Mike Mansfield told him that he couldn't vote for Weaver's confirmation if I nominated him. That's Mansfield. That's what he told Manitos. I've never told a human this. Not a human, not even my wife, not even my staff. Joe Califano, who's handling it, doesn't know it, because if he knew it, he'd have to tell somebody. Now, Mansfield's tired, and he's worn out, and he got mad at labor, and he got mad at the Great Society because he wanted to go off on vacation. He just did too much, and he's a quiet fellow that's not aggressive and doesn't like to fight, and so forth. And he got so disgusted with Weaver, and Weaver pulled the biggest bonehead any man ever pulled. He put out a damn fool regulation the week before it was voted on. And it's just like you're coming to Alabama to court the governor to get him to appoint you on his highway commission. And the week before, you sent a man down there and that's your brother and said you're going to impeach him. Weaver didn't understand the political thing, so he put out this thing. But what was disgraceful was it permitted a man to get rent supplements if he wasn't worth over $25,000. Now, that meant that a middle-class Jewish fella living in Chicago could get his rent supplemented. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're trying to do is put this for the bottom 10 or 15%. And we want it really as a substitute for public housing, because we can only have 35,000 units of public housing. This way we could have 350. So we want it for the poor people. And I would guess that 75% of them will be Negroes.
Yeah. I would imagine.
And we didn't intend to anybody that couldn't get in a public housing project that wasn't eligible, he wouldn't be eligible for this. But some fool wrote the regulation, and a Republican got a hold of it named Harvey of Michigan. And he pointed out that this crazy man, Weaver, was letting people that had $25,000 live in a house where we paid the rent. And it was true. Well, the only thing Weaver could do when he got back running around over the country, now, Roy, I don't know whether you know it or not, that's the principal defect of the Negroes in government. Did you know that?
They do get around.
They just got to. When the moment they take an oath, they get an airplane ticket. They've never been able to do it, I guess. But Carl Rowan, just by God, he was a constant traveler, and I had to veto it every day. That's true. It's true. He just won't. Well,
on the job, Mr. President. He has to stay on the job.
Just was traveling. So Mansfield got so upset, and he finally won his victory, though. He finally passed it by 4 votes. But he was so mad because this regulation put out. They beat him in the Appropriations Committee in the morning by 1 vote. That afternoon, we changed 2 folks, and I got on the phone. We beat them by 1 vote. Then we went to the Senate, and we won it by 4 votes. Weaver wasn't even present.
And wasn't there pitching in?
Not at all. He was up in New Jersey speaking to a Chamber of Commerce. Just like Carl Rowan, every time I had a Security Council meeting, I had to, out there, I'd call him, and then, by God, he'd be in Cleveland, or he'd be in Los Angeles. And that's one of our weaknesses. You and I can speak confidentially to each other. Well, anyway, Mansfield got mad. He told Manitos, this Greek boy that Kennedy had handling the Senate, he's very quiet, never said anything. He said, you tell the President, if he sends that name up, I'll have to vote against him. So I wanted to sit down after January and talk to Mansfield and talk to the leaders. I don't want to get in another Morrissey fight. I'm trying to avoid that with Thurgood Marshall.
I think
my instincts, if I had my way, I would really 60%, 51% certainly, lean toward Weaver. deal of that's just because of my feeling for the Negro, little Negro boy. I talked to one that works for me this morning and told him I want his girl to come to the White House and work. She's making A's in this little country school out here. And I said, I want to educate her. And I just don't want her to be disappointed in me. Now, very frankly, I'm selfish. And that's why I lean toward Weaver. But I've got to do a lot of these other things. And so I want Weaver to stay on until January, and we do nothing. Then I want to get the best 5 people in the world for this job, of which he would be one. And then we'd kind of look at it, and I would talk to Louis Martin, and I would talk to you quietly without anybody knowing it, and I would talk to maybe the Rockefeller, and I'd talk to a few others, and we'd get out and make a decision after Congress gets back that I could get through the Senate. And if I mean Weaver, I want to be able to, I don't want to leave it up to Teddy and Bobby anymore with Morrissey. They told me they'd get him through without any trouble and so forth, but I don't want to face that, and I can't have a cabinet fight like Roosevelt had with Truman had that, Pauley and Ickes resigned and all that stuff. So, Weaver has a commander complex, and he says, well, I've waited 5 years, and I'm not going to wait anymore, and so forth. And I think he sold his wife on the fact that he had to resign. And yesterday, I think he got the humor not resigning, and then last night, he's had to put it off another day. And he said, well, he won't go and talk to his wife about it. I haven't heard what he's done this morning. My judgment is he's not going to resign. He's a damn fool if he does. If he hadn't got any more sense than that, he ought to be in the cabinet. But as long as he's being seriously considered, which he is, but and nobody else is. I've got no other name except Lawrence Rockefeller. And nobody knows that but you. I haven't told him that.
The Daily News had a speculative piece yesterday morning, the New York Daily News.
Yeah.
With some names in it, but I haven't seen it yet. Somebody told me about it.
I haven't heard of it.
They told me they had a speculative piece.
What does it say?
Well, it said that a number of names were being considered, among them Weaver. And it went on to name some others. Now, I've sent for the time, the news. It got away from our newsroom here. It had Lindsay's picture on it in color. And the paper got away. And I've sent out to buy a back copy over here at the news place, which is about 3 blocks away. But I haven't got it yet.
Well, it's not record. Whatever it is, it's not true. The people I've talked to you.
Yes.
And I've talked to Califano just to talk to Weaver.
Yes.
But I have not talked to any other human. I haven't even mentioned it to John Rockefeller, any of his friends. I've talked to nobody in the White House. I have not talked to...
written out of Washington.
Well, you see, it's just probably somebody that's promoting somebody, promoting Weaver, promoting somebody else.
I don't get the tone of it. I can't say what the tone of it is. It's only the person told me that it had names in it.
Well, the fact is, what we ought to do, we've got to consider Weaver hard and long. We've got to consider not what effect it has on Weaver. I don't give a damn Weaver as an individual. You do because he worked with you, but I like him. And he has a plus with me. But I don't give a damn about him as an individual. What we got to do is what effect it has on all these kids and these folks that are getting out of college and they think they might be president, they might be Supreme Court justice, they might be in the cabinet. That's what we got to think about. We've got to think about a year from now what effect it'll have if it goes the other way. Those two things have got to be. I'm convinced that regardless if you and Martin Luther King and every leader in this country got up and said, Johnson is right, Mr. Rockefeller, Ms. Roosevelt, whoever it is better for us now. I'm convinced that 75% of the Negroes would feel let down. I just don't think they can feel.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
I just don't think they can feel any other way.
I agree with you. I think they would. They're in that thoughtless mood, but imperceptive mood in which they react to their skin.
And I don't care that from a selfish standpoint, because I'm not running to anything. I don't want one job, not a damn thing. I've got my program passed. I don't need a Negro. I can tell them all to go to hell. But in my heart, I don't want to be the guy that destroys the ambition and the hope of the people who supported me 95%.
Well, I tell you something, Mr. President.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know what the hell is wrong with me or whether I'm making a mistake. mistake or not, but I believe in your heart. Now, I believe in it. Now, I don't care what the rest of them say. And I can make political mistakes, and I can do this, that, and the other. But, and you can make mistakes, and I can criticize you, and will. But I still believe in your heart. Now, I'm glad to hear you say that. Now, I don't know whether there's any better way to end this conversation, because I think that's it. I know what you're up against, and when you say you're trying to do it according to your heart, I believe it. Now, the rest of them may not believe you, but I do.
Well, I don't care whether they believe me or not. I just want to do what is best. There are two compelling things that are forcing me. The first thing is when I walk out here and see the people that stand along the road, the street, the slums, even up going up toward the Capitol. I remember last night when I concluded my campaign there with a little hair braided, barefooted, 12, 14 years old, they look upon me, and I don't care what they say about my not having any appeal. They love me and they trust me. Those kids, I've given them a little hope. They think they may have a chance. Now, that's the first thing. I'm thinking about the effect it has on that whole community, regardless of what the presidents of Harvard or Yale or NAACP or Southern Conference say. I think I know those people about as well as they do. That's number one. The second thing I'm thinking is the Mansfields, the New Jersey, the 25,000 regulation. What happens a year from now after we have, if we go a little quicker than we should go in this field, and how I'm explaining and how we've got a scandal on our hands or trouble. Just one man can do it. A Morrissey can do it, or anything else can do it. And then where I'm now, one of those is pulling against the other. I'm sick. I haven't got the best judgment. I'm in pain. Every minute as I talk to you, I'm in pain. So what I want to do is try to get rid of the pain. They don't have to do a damn thing in November, December. Weaver's there running it. To come back to Washington in my own way, sit in my bedroom and talk to people and try to work this thing out to do what I'm willing to stand on and defend. Now, I did it with Gardner. I did it with Fowler. I did it with Katzenbach. I did it with Connor, and I'm proud of it. But I'm not ready to do that now. If I were, name Weaver in a minute. But naming him when Congress is not in session trying to throw a nigger down the throats, when Mansfield feels this way, when Adam Clayton Powell, he called up and said, "I God, if you do this, why, so-and-so and so-and-so." With all these things, that's not the wise thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's not wise when you're sick anyway.
That's right.
The second thing is I could go to John Rockefeller, Lawrence Rockefeller right quick, or David Rockefeller right quick, or R.J. Miller of Ford right quick, or Albert Ryan's. Now, that's not smart, because I haven't got these bases touched, and I haven't had them to have a chance to think about these little children and what they'd think, and these leaders, and the teachers, and the doctors, Negro doctors, everybody. So I haven't got that education done. So I just think the only thing to do, and I guess Louis Martin, he's about smart and about as good and about as able a Negro as I know of, except you, I think.
Politically smarter than I am.
If Weaver got enough sense to talk to him, I think he'll tell him that you're being considered. Your name's on the list. Nobody else is even on it yet. We're trying to get three or four. He wants to touch his bases. He wants to talk to the McClellan. I had an interesting thing yesterday. This damn fool Harvey of Michigan wrote me a letter saying that he had done this job on rent supplement, and he had murdered us, and he had won. But he didn't do it because he hated Weaver. He rather likes Weaver. And that if I'd sit down and talk to him, and Weaver talked to him, he'd try to undo it.
Ah.
Now, that's about the end of it. Albert Thomas, who's dying of cancer in Houston, who's a typical East Texas boy and got all the prejudice of Nacogdoches and Marshall and Shreveport, he called me a day or two ago. And I asked him, told him I was sorry he wasn't there for rent supplement. He said, "Well, you just stay with old Doc Weaver." Said, "He's about as good a Negro as I ever heard of in my life. But he's honest and he's good." And said, "I back him." And that is surprising. But the fellow is not without congressional champions. And when you get Thomas, who's chairman of the Appropriations Committee, He won't be there anymore, I guess, on account of cancer, but you get Harvey. Now, that's something I need to point out to Mansfield and to consider and to evaluate. So I would say this. Anything you can do, and Louis can do. I've not talked to Louis, but I told Califano to talk to Louis because I imagine this man Weaver's desperate. And he's running just like a cute that's got a bunch of hound dogs after him. And he's trying to get up a tree or under the bed or something.